Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my co-host, Michelle Post, as always, from beautiful Orange State, Florida.
The state of the oranges, as opposed to the county of the
oranges. God, who was it? God, growing up, who was the lady that was kind of like the spokesperson for a day without orange juice is a day without sunshine? Anita Bryant.
Yes.
I still remember those little commercials when I was a kid.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing how these things, right? I mean, there are commercials that you hear that kind of implant in your brain.
Yes.
A lot of them are cigarette commercials, unfortunately, from when I was a kid. And the guy on the horse, right? The Marlboro guy, the Marlboro man. But yeah, I remember growing up, a day without oranges is a day without sunshine.
Yes. And I would say, nutritionally, we have discovered tip for the day, eat your juice, don't drink your juice. Eat your fruit, don't drink
now, wait a minute. I have orange juice every morning.
You've been programmed well.
Are you telling me? But I have oranges, right? We harvest here at Scotland Grove. Uh-huh. And I squeeze my oranges.
Well, at least it's fresh squeezed and from your own. But yes, nutritionally, eat your fruit, don't drink your fruit.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're missing out on the important, the best part about fruit is the fiber.
The pulp.
Right, the fiber, right? And it's less calorie dense when you eat the fruit versus drink the fruit.
What you just said to me reminds me of a magic trick where you take a box and you show that the inside of the box is bigger than the outside of the box. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around what you just said, but I'll get there.
Well, I want to do a quick shout out to my longtime friend, Keith Wilson out of Los Angeles, who I found out discovered our podcast randomly searching on Spotify. And he's been listening and liking our tips and our tricks and how to apply them to create a better life. And so I hope all of our listeners are finding our podcast helpful, not just my friends from the past that have somehow
Although friends from the past are good.
Oh, they are welcome and appreciated.
Which, by the way, I guess we should thank all of our listeners. We're at almost 9,700 plays as Woo-hoo. Of this podcast. And we've been doing this for a while, and it's still fun, and we're still with you guys. But we do need you to like, subscribe, and share this so that we may continue to grow on your favorite podcast platform.
You know,
I believe we're on eight or nine platforms now, if I'm not mistaken.
We should be. And, you know, later as we get into, you know, does stress affect your relationships and what to do about it, one of the tips that I'll share, I'll repeat it again, is ask for help. And speaking of my friend Keith and how valuable he is, number of times when we were facing stressors in our life, we met through church and we would spend we'd close out parking lot just chatting about how to resolve all the things in our lives in the parking lot after church. And having a good friend that you can do that with is priceless. So
solve all the world's problems in an afternoon, right?
At least our problems, we tried to. Anyway.
It's a big show today. At least I think it's going to be a big show.
Well,
I don't know if there's more you want to talk about outside the topic or if you want to jump in a little early.
Just World Kindness Day. That's it.
Like it is.
Today is World Kindness Day.
And so Michelle and I, right before we went on the air, we're chatting. It's like, what the hell is World Kindness Day? And so I went on two sites. One, among others, was the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation.
Woo-hoo.
And they talk about World Kindness Day as being an invitation to help make kindness. Notice it's kindness and not nice. And I want to back up just a minute and explain my version of nice and kindness. Uh-huh. Nice means being polite. Kind is something different. We'll get to that in a minute.
I agree.
Anyway, it's making kindness the norm in your home, school, and workplace. And then the Business Standard website talks about World Kindness Day themes and what's going on. And in particular, apparently, according to them, that every year there's a particular theme. And this year's 2023 theme is Be Kind Whenever Possible, because kindness can change lives.
Kindness can change lives. And kindness it can be contagious. So when you are kind to somebody by, I don't know, anything, helping them with a shopping cart or a parking space, or, you know, then they help the next person and the next person, and kindness just continues to spread. So,
and I did find, I did
spread some.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
No,
what I found fascinating here was the history, right? I'm always looking for where the history of certain things come from, because I, you know, a lot of times we hear stuff over the course of our lives and we just don't even know what the origin is. World Kindness Day goes back only to 1997, and it started in Tokyo, Japan, to unite, as they put it, unite associations from around the world.
Oh.
And it was only in 1998, it hasn't been around that long, 1998, that it was then became a yearly event.
Wonder what was going on in 1997 that it finally got started, aside from my
you know, it's a good
marriage.
Question. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at when they started. We're a little behind the trend here.
My nephew was born.
Well, there you go. That must be it.
That's it. He inspired it.
You know, the U.S. did not adopt this as a holiday. It's not an official holiday, but did not start celebrating this as a country till 2018.
Well, of course, we didn't need that far behind.
Of course, the U.K. picked it up in 2010. And there are now 27 countries who recognize this as a holiday.
Oh, yay. World kindness is spreading.
So may all of us have positivity and empathy in our world today.
Yes. Amen.
So shall we jump into, make it be. So shall we jump into today?
Yeah. Stress and the impact on relationships.
So let's take those two. That's a big topic to unpack, right? Stress, relationships.
Yep.
And every listener has stress in their life. You wouldn't be listening to the show otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, everybody has a relationship, even if it's with themselves, by the way.
Good point.
And so, you know, do you find as a therapist that all relationships can benefit from learning to maneuver through stress?
Yes. No brainer. Duh. Yes.
Well, it sounds like a no brainer, but right before we went on the air, I was telling Michelle some of the research I had done for today's show. And if we get to it, great, but I was a little shocked of the things that I was naive to, because I think some of us kind of go through life, and I certainly know people like this, go through life, when it works, it works, when it doesn't, that's just part of life, we don't have to work at anything, right? Mm-hmm. You know, life is a bed of roses, and it shouldn't be stressful, and if it's stressful, oh well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that today's show is actually a contraindication of that, and that's that, yes, stress exists everywhere. It's how you handle the stress, not only individually, but as a partnership, that is going to dictate whether the stress wins and damages the relationship, or if the relationship becomes stronger as a collaborative effort mm-hmm. to deal with the stress. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting. You said life is a bed of roses. I was like, has anybody ever laid down in a bed of roses? That's got to hurt. Like roses have a lot of thorns. a bed of rose petals, maybe. I'd like, but life kind of is a bed of roses.
God, what was that? What was the movie? I can't think of the title right now. What was the movie with the actress and the poster American was Beauty? Her? Was that it? Where she's laying in the bathtub? Laying,
yes, with all the red rose petals.
All the red roses, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yes, as someone who has a lot of roses at our home, you're right. There are thorns.
Yes, I don't want to lay down in my rose bed.
So one of the things I looked up, presuming that everybody has stress and everybody has a relationship, was just the threshold question. How can someone tell if stress is affecting their relationship in one way or another? Mostly negative, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I pulled this off of Psych Central. And again, I am not going to even pretend I'm an expert at couples therapy. That's Michelle's, that's your thing, where I work with individuals, not couples. And so here are some things that I'm going to throw out. And then, Michelle, I'd love to know if you agree or not, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So number one on here is if you've become a contrarian, right? So it's that what I like to call the negative response to everything. Somebody says something and constantly you're disagreeing and you're taking an opposite response. Now, again, this isn't, we want to differentiate this from what you normally are to things that you've become, right? So okay. If you're normally contrarian, I'm okay with that, right? Eeyore is Eeyore, right? Eeyore is Eeyore. That's why A.A. Milne had all these wonderful archetypes. And when you hear Eeyore, oh, poo, right? Right. When you hear that, it's not that Eeyore has become Eeyore, Eeyore's Eeyore.
Right, right.
If you notice in your relationship that you've become Eeyore, mm-hmm. Or you're disagreeing with everything. Now, Eeyore wasn't disagreeing with everything. Eeyore was mm-hmm. Eeyore, right? But it's what you have become. If that's happening, then it's likely that that stress is affecting your response pattern.
Yes, agreed.
Okay. All right. And then one, intimacy is rushed or non-existent. And I think that comes out of, right, when you're stressed, and I know this from working with police officers in very life and death dynamic situations. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, there's even new studies out. I was just talking, by the way, to a dear friend of mine who's heavily involved in, we'll just call it SWAT responses, but it's that kind of armed life and death response. They have found, they've been trying for years to figure out why under stress the cops can't hit their target, right? While on the training range, they get great scores, but under a situation, a dynamic situation, stress, they miss. And right. They're discovering that what happens is, which we've known for years, that under stress, time slows down and your vision gets narrow. We've known that. You get tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. You start focusing on what the stress is, mm-hmm. and time slows down. You lose all capacity to tell how much time actually elapsed. Well, mm-hmm. what they've discovered is that in a life and death situation, when these officers bring out their gun, they can't see the sights on the guns anymore because their eyes are focusing in front of the gun 20 feet. And so they've lost the ability to sight what they're aiming at. And so it's very interesting that they've said, you know, one of the clear effects of stress is the inability to focus and concentrate, and how that has a domino effect on intimacy, closeness, and similar things.
Makes sense.
Yeah. then there's the inappropriate anger response. And I'll be the first to admit, I have been here. Mm-hmm. And particularly when I was in the midst of trial or, you know, battle, I was going to war. It's my anger would flare very quickly because I'm so competitive.
Okay.
But it became inappropriate when I wasn't at work anymore. And and I always prided myself, we've talked about this before, on I'm always working, I'm always playing, right. I'm always right. I don't compartmentalize like that, right, or at least right. I never did. And so if you find yourself having inappropriate anger responses, that's probably a very clear sign that stress is having a negative impact on your relationship.
That makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just a few more. You've become paranoid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big red flag.
And I've said this before, right? If you start finding yourself mind reading, and you can't turn it off, and the mind reading is actually the paranoia, the fear is constantly taking over. You know, I just heard my sister tell me, and I'd never heard this before. She's been on our show. We talked about her with the, deflection rings and things like that.
Yes.
She made a great comment that she had heard from somebody, and that was there are two things you can bring to a relationship, love or fear. That's a heavy statement.
So many of us bring both.
What we do. And so if you find yourself bringing the fear, that's a good sign that the stress is not working for you. Mm. Suddenly you're finding your partner annoying. Right. Yes. We've talked about this through COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing for Scott to go to work and then come home, but when I'm home 24/7.
I know.
Hmm.
How's Carolyn doing?
Right? And so
Vice versa. You're around Carolyn more. So, do you find it annoying?
I recognize what the problem is. I'm a lot.
You're just the right amount for the right person, Scott.
I am. And so, but the question is, is that starting to happen? And then,
yes.
Do you find that you just want to be alone a lot?
Okay.
Not alone, alone. Just you're irritated and you want to withdraw. It's that hermit syndrome. Just find me a cave and let me move into it. Mm-hmm. And then finally, if you're in the position to be brutally honest with yourself, you find yourself unhappy.
Yeah. Okay.
That's probably it, right? It's not the partner. And this is the big thing I want to explain to everybody. We tend, at least when I see folks, we tend to see the symptom as the problem, mm-hmm. versus the symptom is just that stress is the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Also, I think when you're getting short-tempered or paranoid or having a lot of fear or whatever's going on, and you're bringing that home, when you're the person that's stressed and maybe unaware that it's affecting your relationship, sometimes your partner begins to wonder if you're unhappy with them versus unhappy with your work or other things in your life. Your partner begins to start wondering if the problem is them. And do you want to be communicating that the problem is your partner when maybe you're stressed at work or you're worried about retirement or you're worried about your kids? Do you want to be communicating to your partner unconsciously that they are not good enough, right? When that's not maybe what you mean to be doing.
So then let's go to a couples therapy type setting. Mm-hmm. What do you do with something like this, Michelle? Let's assume one or more of these triggers you've noticed as a therapist, right? Even if couple or individual is not self-aware enough to recognize it, see it.
Right. So
what happens now?
Okay. So what happens now? Let's take an example of, you've been kind of chronically stressed about something and you're coming home regularly complaining, whining, crying about stuff, but you're not taking action. Okay. Your partner can get tired of you just venting and spilling on them all the time without doing anything to improve your situation. So it comes time for you to say, like, is this something that I'm kind of chronically venting about or complaining about or struggling with? And is it time for me to take action? So for instance, if it's your job, there is not only one place in the world for you to do your magic. And let's even take magic, for example. Literally, there might be only one magic castle in the world, but it is not the only place in the world that you can do magic. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Carolyn and I have had this conversation, right?
Right, right.
It's how much work do I want to put in to performing at other venues around the world?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we've talked about this, right? And much more remunerative.
Yes.
Than the castle. That's a two different things. Yes. It's not that the castle doesn't pay its performers. It's that, right? You go. Right. Matter of fact, we were just looking the other day. We were watching a TV show, and somebody was throwing this huge party on the. It was a reality show. This huge party, and they had a fortune teller and a magician there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching these people in a very famous part of Los Angeles going, I wonder how much they got paid
exactly
to be at this event.
Exactly.
So yes, there are other avenues.
Right.
So listening to you, my question though is, are you suggesting a fix it or suck it up approach?
No, I'm suggesting that if you are chronically complaining about something, it is time to do an assessment of, is the problem you? Like, do you need to accept this and change your attitude? Or do you need to have the courage to change this? Like, do you need to change your job? It's not the only place or location for you to do this particular career. I don't care how specific your career is, how niche your career is. Now, if you're the boss, do you need to write up the person at work that you're complaining about or fire them if you have appropriate cause or reason? Or do you need to stop working so hard and hire or train or mentor more people or take a class to get some tools to increase your efficiency? Like, instead of just complain about the scenario, is there something you can do? So for instance, one of my business coaching clients was complaining that they could not take more than a couple hours. Like, this is the owner of a company. They could not take more than a couple of hours without getting like 50 plus pings from various employees and clients and da 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 da. And yet they were repeating. I was like, are there things that you are saying multiple times a day, especially to your employees? Yes, there were. So I said, well, where's the system in place? Like, the next time you teach this to an employee, assign them the need to write it up in an electronic form and present it to you. So you start creating a frequently asked questions list for your employees or an employee manual or some form of document that at minimum you are teaching your employees to go and find the answers as opposed to coming to you when you're repeating yourself about simple questions over and over again. Like, of course, there are going to be big problems that only an owner or only the VP or only the director can answer.
Yeah.
But are you answering questions that are simple? And then you're taking the time to answer that really fast, but you're wasting your future time, right? So what are the things that you need to change about the world that's creating your stress instead of just complain about it or take away time from home because you're so busy working so many hours, et cetera, et cetera? Are there systems in place, right? So that's one thing. But then what's going on in your relationship? Like, are there things in your relationship that are either little annoyances or big issues? And are you talking to your partner or spouse about it? Because one of the ways that we handle stress is having a face-to-face conversation with whoever we're perceiving as being a part of the problem. Do you need to have a face-to-face conversation with someone about stuff? And if so, if you're avoiding those conversations, why? Like, does the other person tend to blow up? Are you not asking them for an appointment when they're ready to talk about heavy subjects? So then they're blowing up because they are stressed. You know, ask your partner for a good time to talk to them about any heavy things weighing on you, and then take it one issue at a time and tackle it, or get help. Like, again, I said, one of the things that we can do to is get help, whether it's a self-help book, or you start listening to, you know, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World on a regular basis more often, or, or, you know, do you go to your therapist or find a coach or find a pastor or some kind of spiritual advisor to help you communicate in a less defensive way and just get a third person or a third perspective to navigate things between you and your partner. That's a very important piece. These things don't just go away from shoving them under the rug.
Yeah.
For a million years.
I want to add one thing here that Carol and I have learned to do. It's not something that was organic or intuitive. I actually read it somewhere. And that is that, and I've used it with family members, by the way, to test it first. Before we tested it on ourselves, we tested it on others. And that is, when someone calls and complains, first of all, I've taught others how to treat me. That's number one. And a number of people have learned that they can write me or text me or call me and say, I just need to vent. Can I call you? That's number one.
Yeah.
So now I know I'm not in fixer mode.
No, nope, just then, listen.
Then number two, if there's not that preamble, we've learned together to say back in response, so Michelle, do you want to feel better or do you want to fix this?
Yes. Or do you just need to talk about it? Like, was that enough?
Well, that's the feel better, right? So and it kind of encompasses that. So now the onus is back on you, and I'm not mm-hmm. owning, mm-hmm. As they would say in Yiddish, as my grandma would say, the kvetching.
The kvetching.
right? So it's, do they, and then if they want to fix it, uh-huh. right? If they just want to feel better, I'll listen and I'll help them feel better. Mm-hmm. If they want to fix it, then we can work together, or they can come up with their own ideas, because right. It's their problem. Right. It's not my problem.
Right.
And so it's just another little tool that you can, in your head, rather than the fix it or suck it up, it's actually, do you want to feel better or do you want to fix it?
Right. Because talking about it sometimes is all you need. I was talking about the chronic repetitive complaint about the same thing without any change. That wears on a partner, that wears on your friend, that wears on your family.
And we've all got them, right? We've all got those people who bitch about everything.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing, like, again, you know, bitching about new things is one thing, right? But this complaining about the same thing over and over again and not doing anything different about it really wears on the people in your life. Now, sometimes when that's happening, you got to look at, do I need space? So another tool is, do we as a couple need a vacation together with little or no stress associated with that vacation? So it's not a vacation to visit family. It's not a vacation to go work on emptying the garage. It's not a vacation. You know, it's a simple, joyful, fun, relaxed, chill, easy vibe vacation. Do you need that as a couple to hit the reset button? Or do you need that for yourself as an individual? Do you need a retreat where you go and you spend time to check in with yourself? Maybe you do a mind map of who you are at your core, the different roles you play, what you like or don't like about those roles, what you like or don't like about yourself. And maybe you have to identify some dislikes and work through some of those, get help to work through some of those personally or professionally. Or maybe you identify what's missing in your life and you want to add to your life, schedule in some fun events, take a class, develop a hobby, learn a new skill. But if it's you have identified on your own some things that are missing in your relationship, again, we're back to, you got to have those conversations with your partner. And why are you avoiding them?
Let's talk about the avoidance for a moment.
Okay.
And I know it's not the show today, but at some point, right, if there's stress in a relationship and it's affecting it negatively.
Yes.
Right. I'm presuming, by the way, that there's stress and there's a relationship and that there are positive ways to maneuver through it.
Absolutely.
But if there's stress in a relationship and it's a negative impact that you're finding, mm-hmm. And one partner is avoiding or withdrawing or retreating, as you call it, what do you do then?
One partner is avoiding, retreating. So what do you do? I think that's where you ask them, you say, there's some really important conversations that we need to have. And I notice when I bring this up, it seems to be the wrong time, or you explode, or you just want to avoid it. When is a time that is good for you in the next month or 3 weeks or week? When is a time that's good for you that we can talk about this and really kind of sort through what's going on? And if the person is still avoiding, you may need to say, I think we need some professional help with this. I've scheduled an appointment with our spiritual guide, our a therapist, our doctor, whoever feels like a safe third person. But I would not recommend a family member, and I would not recommend a friend. Yeah. It's too hard. There may be other things getting in the way of this conversation, and that's why it's being avoided. That if you involve a friend or a family member, there's too much shame or guilt or covering or masking that can happen because people want a safe base in front of their close people. That's why you might need a professional.
So real quickly, again, to help people who are listening, in your opinion, when do they choose a psychiatrist? When do they choose a psychologist? When do they choose a coach?
You choose a psychiatrist when you have a medical issue going on and you're thinking about treatment, medical treatment, such as medication, right? So typically that's not a couple's appointment. A psychologist does a lot of testing, but they do other things. Many psychologists specialize in couples. That's great. Marriage and family therapists who are licensed, they specialize in couples and marriages and relationships. Licensed clinical social workers. There's not a whole lot of difference as long as whatever that licensed professional has a practice of working with couples, because not all licensed mental health professionals have experience and training working with couples. So you want somebody who is comfortable and has a lot of practice working with couples if you're going for a relationship issue.
And then a spiritual coach or a guide or a mentor. When would someone choose that?
So if you like wellness approach and you have a common spiritual belief system in your coupledom, so let's say you both practice the same faith or you have the same spiritual values or something, you may prefer to take a wellness spiritual guide approach to working through your relationship, be it pastoral counseling with your pastor at the church or the priest, or even just, you know, a spiritual practitioner that you work with who does any number of things, A Course in Miracles, whatever. But again, that person has experience, training, and information about working with couples. You don't take a couple issue to a person that works on, like, you wouldn't go to the podiatrist to help you work through your couples issue. You know, that person specializes in not couples. Yeah. So it's the same thing. Make sure it's somebody that's comfortable and has skill and training working with a couple on negotiating. Well,
you and I are a great example of that. I do not specialize and work with couples.
Right.
You do.
I do. Yeah. A good 25, at any point, 25 to 50% of my practice is couples, just depending on the year. And I love it. And I have a lot of training in it. And so it works for me. I work with individuals too, but that doesn't mean that, like, if I were seeking a couples person for me and my partner, I'm not going to go to somebody that only works with individuals, because that's not their comfort level and they won't be able to help us. no matter how good they are as a human being, right? So that's the difference between, like, I don't think all people have to go to a licensed mental health practitioner if they have a strong spiritual practice and they feel they can be open, honest, and have a trusting relationship with their spiritual counselor. Lots of pastors and spiritual counselors have training in couples. Great. Right. Go for that if you're comfortable with that. That's okay.
Okay. So what else did you want to, because again, I want to, I know I've talked a lot, but I want to defer the balance of the show to where you believe as a professional in this arena, this needs to go.
Yeah. I think I just have one more tip and then one more to reiterate. And then we can talk about maybe a little bit of conflict, like what conflict style that you mentioned, or as a teaser perhaps. But one of the things that could be happening with stress and your relationship is if you're too isolated and you need to actually connect with other people. So do you need a guy's weekend? Do you need a girl's night out? Do you need maybe a support group or a professional peer group that will help you deal with the stress in your life? Sometimes it's friends that you need to spend more time with, and you've just really been isolating, and it's not good for your relationship to put all that stuff on your partner. You need to develop more of a community network of people, a men's network group, a women, a professional women's group, whatever that looks like for you. Again, it could be a spiritual practice group for people you identify with. It could be an LGBTQ group.
I'll let everybody know. I play poker at my house. I host a poker game, and it's as much a men's support group as friends. We've known each other for decades in some cases. It's a very camaraderie building,
beautiful,
fun way of connecting with other people.
Yeah, that's a perfect. So if you had your poker group and you connect with them regularly and there's no stress in your relationship, you know, you just keep going. But let's say suddenly that's not enough anymore. Maybe you need a gentleman farmers group, Scott, or I need a, you know, women's, I don't know, women's artist group or something of that nature. Don't be afraid to look at just your sheer connection with other people as a potential source of support for you when you're going through stress. And then and it sort of goes hand in hand. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Ask for help. You may have friends that have gone through this who have referrals for you. They might not be your sole source of support, but they can refer you to somebody. You may have somebody who's read a great book, and if you don't talk about it, they won't be able to share their wisdom with you. So ask for help.
So you've mentioned a lot the asking for help, and we've talked about this in a variety of forms on the show. What do you suggest for a listener of the show who has up until now said, it just is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, there's stress. It's negatively impacting my relationship. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. And then they ignore it. What do you suggest in a situation like that?
Well, I would say this happened recently in one of my couple sessions. I would say, if this problem lasted another month, could you handle it? Like, would it end your relationship? What about if it lasts 6 more months or a year or 5 years or 15 years or until the kids leave the house? Like, would your relationship survive this stressor? And if at any point you can see that you're going to hit a wall in time because you've been dealing with it too long, and it could cause either of you to leave the relationship or attack each other or end in divorce, which is very expensive and sad for people, even when you're the initiator, then intervention might be important. But if you're like, you know what, I love this person and I don't see this ever being the kind of thing that's going to end our relationship. We're in it to win it. We're going to make it, you know, I'm feeling hopeful and you're feeling hopeful. Then maybe we're back to acceptance. Accept that this is something you can't change. And change your attitude about it.
So that brings up my next question, which may lead us to conflict management styles. But in your experience, can someone change? So if there's stress and it is negatively affecting the relationship, can you see, have you seen one or both partners alter their behaviors, which would then, in my opinion, alter your behavior, which alters your thinking, which alters your belief system.
Right.
Is that possible?
I would say yes. And I would say, don't wait too long. Sometimes people come to me when they should have come to me 5 years sooner. Like, it is too late. They are headed for divorce. So they did not intervene soon enough.
So Eeyore stays Eeyore.
So Eeyore can stay Eeyore without intervention for the rest of his life. And maybe somebody really loves Eeyore and can accept him for who he is, or them for who they are. And it's not a problem. You're just Eeyores together, thick and thin. We can make it.
Right. Pooh accepts Eeyore.
Pooh accepts Eeyore. Exactly. Now, what I can say is change possible? Yes. Let me give you a very recent example. In 6 months' time working with me, I had an individual who came with me, and through our interventions, we went from, I don't know how to be alone, I don't even know who I am, and I'm not sure I like who I am, 6 months, to just recently, what came out of this person's mouth was, I really love my alone time. And I don't need people to like me who aren't my people. I don't need everybody to like me. I like me. I had this session and I was like, I am so proud of you for the work that you've been doing, that in 6 months' time, you went from not knowing how to be alone to liking some alone time. And this is an extrovert, so that's a big move. To not knowing who you are, to really understanding who you are and what you like and what you don't like. To loving I'm too much for other people. That's why you heard me say, Scott, you're not too much for other people. You're the exact right amount, because that's important too. You're not too much for people or too little for people. You are the exact amount for the right person.
So this brings me, I love bringing up songs. And I happen to love the Abbott Brothers, by the way, for any of you. The Abbott Brothers have a song out called The Perfect Space. And I love this line. I want to have friends that I can trust that love me for the man I've become, not the man I was.
Yes.
I think that's what we're talking about here.
Yes. And we want people to come along the journey with us, right? And by the way, that client I mentioned with the 6 months of change, there was no change in job. There was no change in relationship. There was no moving, no moving locations, no moving where they lived. There was no change. The only thing that changed was their own internal understanding of themselves and loving of themselves. So can people change? Absolutely, they can.
Got it. All right, so we're going to run out of time today. We're not going to get into some of the other stuff. What's important at the end of this? Because I'm looking at the lyrics for The Perfect Space, and it goes along with what you were talking about as well, as far as taking individual vacation. So I want to have friends that I can trust that love me for the man I've become, not the man I was. And I want to have friends that'll let me be all alone when being alone is all that I need. I mean, it's a wonderful song if you guys listen to it, which, by the way, down at the very part, it says, okay, part two, now clear the house, the party's over. Take the shouting and the people, get out.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So at some point, I think you would agree that when there's stress in a relationship, maybe the two of you can together say, get out to the stress.
Yeah.
And choose not to let it become a stressor, right?
That's right. Yeah. Did you just let somebody come over, be it your job or your extended family members or the finance or the world news, did you just let them come over, dump a bunch of trash in your house, and then you're living with the stink? Because if so, you might need to clean that stink out of your house and make sure everything's okay with you and your home.
Oh, now you've just brought up a metaphor that's near and dear to my heart, because with my coaching clients, one of the things I do with them all the time is ask the question, if someone, I want you to imagine someone comes into your living room and dumps a bag of trash.
Exactly.
What do you do? And you'd be amazed at the people who say, I tell them to leave and then I clean it up. Or I'm non-confrontational. I let them do what they're doing. And when they leave, I clean it up. And okay. I always ask the question, why the hell didn't you make them clean up their own mess? And why did you let them in to begin with? So again, different approaches, which I think, by the way, is a great way to end this segment that will lead us into next week when we're talking about practicing patience.
Yay.
And maybe we can touch on conflict styles then, because I'm not a great patient person. I'll put it out there. Right. I don't want to wait in a frickin' line. I don't want
I feel you.
And so perhaps we can continue this discussion, but under the guise of practicing patience, not only with others, but with your partner.
Yes.
And kind of bring it all home then. What do you think?
I agree. Let's do it. Join us next week.
Next week, we will be talking about practicing patience. Again, I want to thank everybody for being part of the show, part of our audience. And until next week, may you have no stress.
Yes. Amen. Let it be so.
Bye-bye.
Happy World Kindness Day.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.